You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
A lot of people ask me how it is that I keep thinking such positive thoughts about what is possible, whether it's in a marriage or in somebody's life. And I've got to tell you that I tend to be eternally optimistic. And part of that is probably something that I inherited from my grandmother and my father, that they both are always looking for the better outcome, the better possibility in people. But I also know that for myself, there are many times that I can look back and people thought that I couldn't do it. When I was in kindergarten, my teacher didn't think there was much that I could do, that she thought that I was had some real limitations in my life and that I would only be able to do so much, told my parents not to expect too much. And even though I was not told about that until later, I think part of my task in life was to overcome my learning disabilities and dyslexia and figure out how to deal with those, not get rid of them, but deal with them. Sometimes there are things in your life that just stick around, but you've got to figure out how to get through them. I remember later on, a lot of people saying there's no way I was going to be able to go through the program, the training program I went through, the way I did because I was the youngest person ever admitted in it. And they said, well, you're going to have to go away and come back. And that wasn't a good enough answer for me. Then I had people who told me that I would not be able to manage to be an online presence ongoing. And here it is. We are now 18 years into this process of being online, and I'm still here. And then there were people who told me that I would not be able to survive an illness I had, that I would not be able to come through that without major disabilities, even death. And here I am, perfectly healthy. In fact, my wife would tell you I'm probably healthier now than I was when I was half my age I am now. All that to say that many times people say, you can't do this. You're not going to be able to do this. You're not going to be able to manage this. And that doesn't mean they're right. And so today I want to talk some about what do you do with the naysayers around you as you're trying to save your marriage, those who tell you just to give up, just to walk away, don't keep trying, there's nothing you can do. They tell you that there's no way this relationship can be saved. Sometimes we don't know what to do with that kind of a discussion because we tend to like to listen to advice from other people. But I think there's some reasons that we need to understand of what's going on here. First of all, recognize that people love to give advice. I mean, here I am, right? I'm giving you advice right now. People love to give advice many times, even if they don't have the skill set to give that advice. A lot of times people have joked with me about the fact that, you know, I tend to have little bits of advice here and there and lots of different things. And so I often have said, look, I'm not a doctor, but some days I pretend to be. And I'm happy to give people some thoughts about their medical condition, even though I'm not qualified. I'm more qualified, though, to tell you about your relationship. The reason I'm more qualified is because I've been doing this work for now almost 3 decades. For 3 decades, day in and day out, I've worked with people who want to find a way through their relationship. So if you at least want to listen to somebody on how to work on your relationship, listen to people who have been there, not friends or family who have heard or have thought or have been caught up in this whole belief in our country that nothing can be done to restore a relationship. The fact is they don't know what can be done to restore a relationship. So we go looking for people who have been there, who have done that. And so when you start looking for advice, if you want to save your relationship, make sure you're pulling from the right place, but recognize that people all around you, for lots of reasons, like to give advice. I think there are several motivations just to kind of understand of where this comes from, and this doesn't matter whether they're family or friends, and sometimes even professionals. There are several different motivations, and if you start looking for the motivation, sometimes it can clarify because without understanding the motivations, we sometimes assume that they know something we don't. They assume that that they're the expert in some way because they're willing to give advice, right? And the problem with that is that's not always a good assumption, even if you're talking with a professional. Last week, I had somebody who said, I just had a divorce attorney tell me there's no way I could save my relationship, so I guess I'm out of luck. And my response is, what do you think a divorce attorney does day in and day out? Save relationships or help people get a divorce? Of course they don't see an alternative. Then I talked with somebody who was talking with the therapist, and I said, was this therapist somebody who works with couples? Oh, no, they work with individuals. Well, that's a different thing. Then I had someone who came in and said, yes, my therapist is someone who works with couples. And I said, ask your therapist what the training is that your therapist has to work with couples. And as it turned out, it just happened that there had been some people coming into her office, so she decided she was a couples therapist. So recognize that sometimes even the people we put into positions of authority aren't necessarily the ones who have the training on how to get where you want to go. And the question is, are you ready to look at where you want to go? Because sometimes we're looking for people to tell us the feedback that we just want. You know, we want somebody to say, oh, no, there's nothing we can do, so we can walk away. So understand that there's a motivation on your side, and there's a motivation on the other person's side. The advice giver and the advice getter both have some motivations at heart. Some people come to me, and their motivation is they want somebody to tell them it can be done. The problem is they don't necessarily want to do the work to get there. And that's part of the key of this. If you want to get to the place you want to be, are you ready to step in and move in that direction? Are you ready to take the action necessary to get to that place? So what are the motivations of the people who might be giving you advice, whether they're family or friends or even professionals? One is care and concern. These are people who are watching you and care for you and love you and do not want to see you in pain. It's a human nature that we don't want to see our loved ones in pain. I've talked a lot with doctors who on a day-to-day basis have to put people in pain in order to get to a better place. And my question was, what does that do to you? How do you process that? And many told me that it is very hard on them long term because they don't want people to be in pain. They want people to feel better. It's part of the reason that we see so many painkillers, pain relievers, and part of prescriptions these days is because doctors really want you to feel better. And so does everybody else. Your loved ones who have seen you mopey and maybe upset and have watched you cry and be hurt by a spouse want the best for you. And part of what they want in the best of you is for you to just be out of pain. But what they don't recognize is that there are a couple of ways to get there. One way is to give up. That's the one that they're used to. The other way is to go through. Really, that's kind of it. Give up or go through. And give up doesn't sound like that's where you are. The reason I know that is because here you are listening. Here you are working to find a way to get beyond this. So, one place that you can recognize the motivation is they simply want you to feel better. The care and concern is there. Recognize that is one of the powerful places. That is one of the powerful things that people have as they give you advice, is they simply don't want to see you hurting anymore. And if they don't see an alternative, the solution they see is to step away from the relationship. That doesn't mean that's the right one. It's just the one that they know. The second motivation is a little more devious. We all want to be right. I've talked about a friend of mine who is constantly making predictions about what's going to happen down the road. My friend has advice about businesses and all kinds of places. I'm happy to give you that advice, but forgets when it doesn't come true. Forgets that advice was given down the road when it doesn't prove to be right, because we all have that built-in need to be right. And so when we make predictions, if it doesn't happen, we tend to forget those. We tend to be glad to point out the predictions of other people that proved wrong, but we miss our own place. And so recognize that a lot of times people are giving advice based on the fact that they like to be right. And part of that is based in the fact that we all have a need to be important. So recognize that can come from that place. And even that has some altruism to it, but recognize that it also has a place of self to it. It's about that other person. And then there are some people who might give you some advice with ulterior motivations. And those ulterior motivations are just to be aware of, not that you have to figure it out. But for instance, when my client was talking to a divorce attorney, the ulterior motivation for that divorce attorney is that divorce attorney only gets paid if they move towards divorce. That's an ulterior motivation. You don't ask whether to work on a relationship or not if the person is only going to make money when that relationship doesn't work out. So sometimes there are ulterior motivations. Just be aware of that. I've had family members who had an ulterior motivation that they knew something else in the process, right? They knew something going on in the background, and their ulterior motivation was about that. I'm not saying that all ulterior motivations are bad, but recognize that that's one of the motivations that often comes. So you have friends and family and professionals. And my question is, why are you getting the advice? Now, that's not me challenging you saying don't get advice. That's me asking you to consider an important question of why you're asking advice from those people. Now, sometimes people are happy to just give you advice, but this is the question of why you might be looking for that. If you are asking for advice, and part of the reason you're asking for advice is because you just want reassurance, stop asking. If the reason that you keep asking is you want somebody to agree with you, and then you keep being surprised when people disagree with you, you need to stop asking. So if you find that your motivation for getting advice is because you want reassurance, somebody to tell you some other reality than what is, then stop asking for that advice. Because if you don't get the reassurance, then you're stuck trying to figure out what to do with it. But what if somebody volunteers that information? What if you're constantly getting the volunteers of advice? People are happy to call you up and tell you what to do, happy to tell you what to do at a party, happy to send you an email, happy to send you a text, all centered on the fact that there's nothing you can do, that you've got to get out of this. How do you deal with that? Well, let me give you a little phrase that might help. This is how you respond. Thanks. I appreciate your concern. You've given me some things to consider. If I want to follow up, I'll let you know. Now, once you say that, recognize that you don't have to consider that anymore if you don't want to. But you may want to say, I wonder if there's a point to this. I wonder if there is something in here. And you are showing that you appreciate their concern, which is just recognizing that there is a genuine concern there. There's no reason to fuss at them or be rude to them or push them away. Simply accept their advice and then sidestep. So let me tell you again that phrase. Thanks. I appreciate your concern. You've given me some things to consider. If I want to follow up, not when I follow up, not if you want to follow up with me, but if I want to follow up, I'll let you know. In other words, enough, I've heard. You're putting up a boundary. If they come back to give you more advice, to say, hey, I'm still thinking. I appreciate you coming back. I promise I'll let you know if I need anything. So you turn it back again. What I want you to do instead is to look for two types of people, not to give you necessarily advice, but two types in your life to give you some feedback points. Number one, I want you to find a couple of cheerleaders. Now think back to school in sports. Do you remember the cheerleaders? It didn't matter what was going on with the team. They were cheering them on. If they were winning, they cheered them on. If they were losing, they cheered them on. If they fumbled, they cheered them on to regain. If they, you know, scored the points, they cheered them on. If they lost, they were still there. Cheerleaders are there to support no matter what's going on. This is unconditional support. It's the capacity of saying, I support you, right? Not I support you doing what I advise, but I support you. So look for a few cheerleaders in your life, people who will cheer you on, that is not based on anything but your decision, right? They cheer you on based on your decision, not on what they want, but what you want. And so to be able to say to someone, hey, you know what? I'm looking for people who can cheer me on, but I'm not looking for you to tell me what to do. Just to cheer me on, can you do that? If they say, no, I can't, then you know they're not your cheerleader. If they say, yes, I can, ask for them to cheer you on. And if they can't do that anymore, to recognize that. So first of all, find your cheerleaders. Second thing to do is find your helpers. Find the people who will help you move in the direction you want to go. Don't ask what direction should I go. Choose the direction you want to go and head in that direction, asking them to support you in that process. These will be certain professionals who are willing to keep giving you advice and showing you the process and helping you continue to formulate your plan as you move forward. And usually these are professionals who have been there, who have done this, who have helped people to get to where they want to. And if they decide they can't do that, that's fine. Find another. Okay, now there is one exception to this rule. This is my big exception. If you have the naysayers in your life telling you that you are being abused, whether it's physical or emotional or verbal, you need to pay attention. Sometimes when people are being abused, they don't recognize it for themselves. Sometimes they excuse that other person, they excuse the abuser. Sometimes they minimize, sometimes they blame themselves. Sometimes people are unwilling to look at that deeply and say, yeah, I'm being abused. And it takes somebody from the outside to say, hey, you are being abused, to wake you up. So if there is somebody in your life or several people in your life saying, hey, this is abusive, this relationship is abusive, I want you to pay attention to that. I want you to assess that. I want you to talk with a professional about that to see if those around you who are showing you care and concern might be revealing something to you. Now, if you're looking for some help, if you want a helper who will stand by you and watch you and point the way for you to plow through this process, I'm volunteering. This is what I've done for 30 years. This is what I've done for 3 decades for people around the world. I've been unconditionally helping people to move forward in their relationship. Now, let me be very clear. I do not believe that every relationship can be saved. But I am willing to work with you as long as you want to keep moving forward. I will be a force for that. If you're ready to start the process, grab my system at SaveTheMarriage.com. SaveTheMarriage.com to grab my Save the Marriage system. While you're there, when you have the opportunity, let me be a little more help. Let me give you a free week of the virtual coaching program. I have that offered right now. If you go ahead and grab the system, you can also take a free week of the Save the Marriage virtual coaching community for 1 free week to see how it goes, to get the advice you need, to get the tools you need right there. Also, right now, I'm going to make sure that you have another helper on your side. One of my coaches will contact you. I only promise this to U.S. citizens, but we do try, or U.S. residents, but we do try to get people who are around the world as best we can. There are some limitations on that, but we do our best. So right now, if you're in the U.S., and we will even try wherever else you are in the world, we'll give you a 20-minute get started session with one of my coaches so you can have another person who is unconditionally calling for you to move forward and helping you see the way. If you're ready for that, go to SaveTheMarriage.com. Let's get started. Don't listen to the naysayers. Let's look for the places where we can move you forward. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.